Well, good evening, brothers and sisters. Greetings in the name of Jesus, the one that makes it worthwhile for us to come in here to have revival meetings. A little bit about myself. Well, I am married. My wife, Andrea, and we have 6 children. Unfortunately, they're not able to be here this evening. We have some church functions Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday this week, so they're going to support them. And hopefully be here with me this weekend. My parents are Marlon and Pauline from East Waterford. My wife's parents are Daryl and Sarah Yoder from McVeightown. So if you know them, there's a little bit of a connection. What I do for work, I own and operate a small business called Zook's Warehouse, where we distribute discount groceries and other closeouts to discount grocery stores. So that's where I spend my time through the day often. Brother Howard mentioned I'm from Burns Valley Mennonite Church. I wonder if any of you have been there. Raise your hands. Okay, a few of you. Small little church in the woods of northern Franklin County. And I live about 1 hour and 45 minutes west of here. But it's good to be here tonight. And the message that I felt led to bring this evening, I've entitled The Search for God. This comes from Isaiah 55, and you can turn there with me if you like. Isaiah 55. We want to think about the search for God. I really appreciated our brother's opening this evening. Fit super well with what I wanted to share this evening. Certainly a direction from the Lord in bringing the devotions for this message. The key verse, I would say, is Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. But let's read this chapter, Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my ways are not your ways, neither are my ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. All right, let me try it one more time. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the snow cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The first word is ho. It's a word of invitation. ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. Now, it's a kind of invitation, this word ho. It's not like an invitation to something like a birthday party where, you know, if you go, that's fine. If you don't go, no big deal, where it's not any big consequence. This is a little more serious than that, this invitation. It's more like a call to come out of like a burning building. Come, get out. That's the earnestness of the invitation, ho. There is consequence whether or not a person responds to this invitation. So earlier in the book of Isaiah, he uses another word, woe. All right, he uses a lot of times. He says, woe to this people that he's writing to, because the judgment of God is coming upon them, because of their idolatry, because of their wickedness. And time and again, he says, woe unto you, for the judgment of God is coming. There is damnation, there is doom and gloom for you. He said, woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees. He said, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim. He said, woe to the rebellious children. He says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Woe to thee that spoilest and dealest treacherously. For example, those are some instances where Isaiah says, woe, there's damnation, there's destruction, there's judgment. Now here he says, ho. You know what? It's the exact same word in Hebrew, ho and woe. But here it's ho in our English because of what follows. Because there is an opportunity to escape the woe, the judgment. There is the solution, the remedy, the way out. Therefore, it's ho because there's hope. Hope for everyone that's thirsty. Hope for the one who has no money. Hope for the one who is spending money but is not satisfied. It's not, doesn't have to be the end of the story. He asks the question, wherefore, why? Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? I want to look here at verse 2 and take 3 points from here. 3 steps to being filled and satisfied in the search for God. Thinking about the search for God tonight. 3 steps here in verse 2. He says, well, after he asked that question I just read, he says, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. We want to look at each of those a bit here this evening. First of all, hearken diligently unto me. All right, this is God speaking here. All right, Isaiah is the writer. It's not Isaiah asking people to listen. This is Isaiah repeating the words of the Lord. Earlier, it was thus saith the Lord. So this is God talking. He is speaking here, and Isaiah simply relaying the words of the Lord. And God is saying, hearken diligently unto me. Hearken means to listen, right? God says, listen diligently unto me. When is the last time that you just listened to God? There's a lot of noise and a lot of stuff going on in our lives, even out there in Juniata County. I'm sure here in Lebanon there's plenty going on, but I'm sure here in your county that there are places, there are spaces where you can hear, where you can listen for God. How does God speak? If we're going to hearken unto him, if we're going to listen to him, well, how are we going to hear him? Is it going to be audibly? Probably not. It'd be nice sometimes, but probably not. How does God speak to us? Well, we say he speaks through nature, right? The stars and other parts of nature. He speaks to us through his word, does he not? That's a big way. Thus saith the Lord. He's speaking. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through a still small voice. Sometimes he speaks through others, right? They give us counsel and advice. Maybe he speaks through our inner ambition and our drive, and just the way I'm feeling about it. Maybe that comes from God. Maybe you have some other ways that God speaks. So if God is speaking, then we are to be listening. Well, we ought to know how he's speaking. How is he going to speak, and where should we be listening for him? And also, I wonder sometimes, we wish God would talk to us. Like, what does God want me to do? What would God say here? Well, listen. Listen to him. And maybe write down, like, compile a list of, okay, what's God telling me through nature, through his word? What's he telling me through others? What's he telling me through the still small voice? In all of these ways. Write it down and then look at it and get an idea. Okay, God is speaking, and this is what he's telling me. He says, hearken diligently, carefully, and often, without distraction, without delay. Hearken diligently unto me, unto God. As I said before, there's a lot of noise. There are a lot of people speaking to us. I read that there's about 500 hours uploaded to YouTube every minute. And I don't know how much you look at YouTube or you listen to things online or wherever recorded. There's just a lot of stuff to listen to if you want to. And there's a lot of voices. There's a lot of mouths talking to us. There can be. But God says, listen diligently unto me. It's all right to listen to some other people sometimes, but let's not neglect to look to God and tune our ears to God. There are a lot of options of milk, wine, and bread, and things that don't satisfy, and they're not coming from God, but God also offers those things. Can you recognize the voice and the speaking of God? He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus said, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The question, is his voice familiar to you and to me tonight? And are we close enough to him to hear his voice and to recognize it? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Well, that kind of raises a question then. Okay, so if we seek the Lord while he may be found, it kind of implies that there is a time maybe when he's not able to be found, and maybe there is a place where he is not near, right? If there's a place where he can be found and where he is near, then there must be a place where he cannot be found and where he is not near. So when can you find the Lord? When is it that he is near? The story is told of an old woman who was in the gathering twilight, a little bit of daylight left. She was out in front of her hut and looking earnestly on the ground for something. And the people around took notice that this lady's really looking for something. And so they came around and said, well, what are you looking for? And she said, I'm looking for my needle that I lost. And so they said, well, yeah, do you remember where you lost it? And she said, well, I lost it in the house. And the people said, well, why don't you look in the house? And she said, it's too dark in there. I can't see anything in there. So I'm looking out here where at least I have a little bit of light to see. Did she find the needle outside? No. Can you find God looking in the wrong place? Listening to the wrong voice? No. If you search for God in ways or in places where you simply are not going to find him. The devil can take that opportunity to impersonate God and deceive people. And he does that. I think when people look for God in ways they will not find God, the devil uses that as an opportunity to deceive them and to say, and to talk to them and to say, I'm God, or this is coming from God. And people are deceived in that way. Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14 says, And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Also, Matthew 7, 8, For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Psalm 145, 18, The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. In Psalm 34, 18, The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. All right, there's some clear instruction. There's some clear indications of where and how God can be found. And the assurance that he will be found if you are seeking for him, searching for him with all your heart in the right places with the right heart condition. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You don't have to climb some mountain in Nepal or climb Mount Sinai as Moses or somebody and find God there. We don't have to enter a holy shrine or some temple or tabernacle and perform religious rituals in order for God to take notice. You simply need to open your heart and ears and eyes to him completely and ask him to speak, and he speaks. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. There is a time and there is a place where God cannot be found. Ephesians 4:18 says, They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Hardness of heart will prevent a person from hearing and finding God. It says in 1 John 2:11, But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. You can't find God, you can't hear him, you can't see him if you walk in hatred or bitterness. Also, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. Iniquity, sin, separates and prevents a person from hearing and finding God. A hardened heart, a bitter heart, a sinful heart. Okay? In these conditions, you cannot find God unless you are truly seeking him through repentance. All right? It doesn't matter how much iniquity, how much bitterness, how much anger, how much hardness a person has in their heart if they're turning that heart toward God in repentance and in faith toward him. Then they can hear, they can find God. I think it was the prophet Azariah. No, it doesn't quite sound right. The prophet told King Asa. He said, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin with him. The Lord is with you while you are with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. That's just the plain and simple truth there. If we seek for God with the right kind of heart, we will find him. And if we forsake him, we sure enough won't find him. Hearken diligently unto me. I just thought of the picture of Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus' every word, just hanging on to whatever he was saying. And also Samuel, when he said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." All right, that's the posture. That's the place where a person will hear God speak. So the first point is, hearken diligently unto me. And secondly, eat ye that which is good. Goes a little bit further than just hearing, but to eat, to ingest, to digest what God provides. And there again, there are many other things that we might eat or drink or take in an attempt to find satisfaction. People eat, if you will, they eat pleasure, leisure, sinful indulgences, wealth, fortune, fame, recognition. People consume comedy and information, maybe news or frivolous memes, movies, or moments. People eat these things. They consume them. But are they good? And do they come from God and cause us to draw near to him? Now verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." There's another promise that the wicked will, if he forsakes his way and turns to God, then he will find satisfaction and fulfillment. But not everything that we have available to eat is good to eat. And part of eating that which is good is to stop eating the bad stuff. Don't eat stuff that's not good for you spiritually. Discerning good from bad and then avoiding the bad. And whether we're thinking of things that we feed on mentally, whether it's by looking or longing or listening, or the things that we feed on spiritually, whether they be godly or ungodly, the saying goes, you are what you eat. And maybe it's true in a physical sense. If you eat junk food, your body tends to become junk, I guess. I'm not sure. But I think it's true also in not just the physical sense, but in spiritual things too. Mentally, you are what you eat. If you, And Isaiah says, why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? There is no point to all that garbage. Solomon was a man who experienced what it was like to eat an abundance of both good and junk. He knew what it was like to find satisfaction, but he also knew what it was like to eat in abundance and be left empty. And in that sense, he says, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And that kind of sums up his experience of eating that which was not good. And he, he really dove in and consumed a lot of pleasures and various things. He didn't find satisfaction. But to the good part, when he was experiencing that, he writes, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And that was when he was finding satisfaction. But eat that which is good. Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." And Psalm 119, 103 says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I will meditate in thy precepts. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way." God's words are sweet. and we can develop a taste for them. You know, it's kind of like healthy foods. You know, sometimes if you're not used to healthy foods, it doesn't quite satisfy, but you learn to enjoy it. You develop an appetite for it. And I'm not saying that you have to develop an appetite for God's word necessarily, but if you're not accustomed to consuming good food and you begin down that road, it does become delightful. We can go on a diet, a spiritual weight gaining diet. That would be fun, to go on a diet where you're trying to gain weight. Sometimes people do try to gain weight for medical reasons. A lot of us try to go on a diet to lose weight, right? But we can go on a spiritual weight gaining diet and see how much we can gain, see how fat we can get, all right? Because we're eating good things. Consume lots of the Bible, feast on his word, listen to sermons, wholesome podcasts, read books, articles that clarify and edify. There are a lot of good things to eat and good music to listen to, and good things to fill our minds and ears with that draw our hearts toward God. Eat ye that which is good. Also, I wanted to read Psalm 63. Psalm 63 includes these three points nicely. As I read, maybe you'll notice the three points that I mentioned about hearkening diligently to God, to eating that which is good, and then letting your soul delight itself in fatness. So here, Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. My right hand, thy right hand, upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Well, I think I can see, hearken diligently unto me in verses 1 and 2. It talks about, you know, seeking God, listening for God and God speaking. And then eating that which is good, verses 4 through 6. Talks about a soul being satisfied with marrow and fatness, joyful lips. And also then the third point that we're coming to, let your soul delight itself in fatness. And this is the reward of one who hearkens diligently and eats properly. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. And in here, this psalm, he says, thou hast been my help. I rejoice in the shadow of thy wings. And he speaks of God's right hand upholding him. These blessings and just rewards that come to a person who does listen for God and does feed on righteousness, righteous things. And just going back to Isaiah 55 again, thinking about this point of let your soul delight itself in fatness. In verses 10 through 13, that's really brought out here. He talks about the rain coming down as the snow from heaven, how it waters the earth, it makes things grow, it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. God is still speaking. And God is saying that this word, this will accomplish what he pleases. He says, "For ye shall go out with joy, be led forth with peace." He says that the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. It sounds like a soul delighting itself in fatness and good things, the blessings of God that come when we listen and follow God. He writes about all these good things. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. This is the blessing of God that showers upon and fills up within the heart, soul, and mind of anyone who will search for God. Now, this isn't self-indulgence, nor is it materialism, where we're just trying to live it up or to find pleasure and satisfaction in just pleasing self. It's a different kind of satisfaction. It's experiencing the blessing of God because you hearkened unto him, because you sought for him and you found him. You consume his word, you heed his law, you walk in his ways, and this leads you to walk with joy, with peace, and satisfaction. The search for God. I thought of Peter, the disciple, when Jesus found him. I kind of picture him as a scrawny, rough fisherman, skin and bones a little bit, and a little crude and rough around the edges. But he writes in 1 Peter, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And that statement, that writing of Peter, I don't see that coming from a scrawny fisherman. I see that coming from someone who has delighted himself in fatness. He has been through, he has sought for God, he has fed on the words, the teaching of Jesus Christ, and has found that to be filling in his life. And now he has a different perspective on life. He has filled out and fattened up spiritually, and now he can teach about these things because his own soul delighted itself in spiritual blessing. To conclude, as God promised Israel through his prophet Isaiah, so today he promises that we too can experience the reality of these blessings coming to pass as we hearken diligently unto him, as we eat that which is good. Then your soul and mind can delight itself in fatness, in abundant spiritual blessings. Hunger and thirst, briars and thorns, it's a part of our experience, and we can't get away from it. They are realities that we may all face because we live in a fallen world. But those aren't the end of the story. And God doesn't just say woe, judgment. He says ho, an invitation. There is a fountain of living water. There is bread that you can eat that no man can take away from you. And he says, "Come ye, come unto me, and your soul shall live." If the fatness, the good things of God are not your experience, is it because you're not feeding on the right things or not listening for God? And where are you in your search for God? Thinking about this search for God tonight. Are you searching for him? Have you found him? Are you living Isaiah 53? Do you know the voice of the Good Shepherd when he's speaking? Or is it a voice that you can't identify? You don't know where to listen to it or what it sounds like. I mentioned that there are some hindrances to hearing God: hardness of heart, bitterness and anger, and iniquity or sin in the heart. And those things are efficient at blocking the voice of God speaking to us. And in the search for God, we have to deal with those. We have to remove them from our hearts, from our minds, from our lives, in order to find God. The search for God. You know, at the end of our life, every one of us, after we die, we will meet God, right? We will find God. We will meet him. But if we haven't found God before that point, then what will that meeting be like? We have to find God before we get there. We need to seek him while he may be found, and call upon him when he is near. And he can be found, and he is near, when he speaks to us. When you feel him, when you hear him speaking to our hearts. And he says, God said, "Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near." We seek for him, we find him, not just to escape eternity of damnation. That's a motivator. But because there is blessing upon blessing, there is spiritual richness and fatness that we can enjoy in this life for sure, and in the life to come, even more for sure. And I'd like to just extend an invitation tonight that if you would like to find God tonight, if you are searching for him, or maybe have wandered away from him, or can identify a problem, you know, an issue in your heart that you need to take care of, then yeah, why not tonight? And just find God while he is near. But we're going to sing an invitation song, and if God is speaking to you and you feel like you need to make something right with God, or you need to find God before it's too late, then just respond. Raise your hand and talk to someone after the service.